Welcome to Shattered Reality with your hosts, Kate Valentine and Ferusha.
To our main programming, which is the very interesting, fascinating, intelligent guest that we have for you today, Dr. Ross Dunseith. Dr. Dunseith does work at the Division of Perceptual Studies at the University of Virginia. He is also associated with the Cedar Creek Institute, which may be another name for the Department of Perceptual Studies. I'm sure he'll set us straight with that. And he works with such parapsychological luminaries as James Tucker and Dr. Ed Kelly and the late Dr. Ian Stevenson. So I'd like you to welcome Dr. Ross Dunseith to our show, and his specialty is psychokinesis. Dr. Dunseith, do you mind if we call you Ross?
Well, no, go right ahead.
Thank you.
So I do EEGs and MRIs, and I was wondering, since you do have some of the subjects that do this, have you seen anything that would take the so-called paranormal into the normal range? I mean, have you any evidence of changes in brain waves or anything of that nature?
Well, of course, that's what we're after.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a bunch of preliminary data. We just came off of a year and a half pilot study. And there's two tasks that we have to make happen for these kinds of studies. One of them is we have to be able to reliably detect quote-unquote PK and do it electronically so we can merge that data in simultaneously with the physiology, the EEG data. So we end up having to run these things in controlled trials. They're timed. You have to do several of them. Like my standard protocol right now is 48 trials, 48 seconds each, alternating between rest and PK. And as you can see, that's a difficult task to get somebody to turn PK on and off like that.
Oh, yeah.
And also in the process of doing that, we accumulate mountains of data. So, and it took a while as well to get all these various protocols programmed and all the hardware and everything running, synchronized and whatnot. So my pilot study that I just finished, I've got significant results. And out of those significant results in terms of getting PK hits, I was running EEGs on, I would say, two really good prospects for seeing something. But what I can say preliminarily is in one case, the person has a really odd, you know, EEG. It's a very odd activation in the PK mode versus his rest mode.
Yeah.
And it's like changing in frequency. The spectral peak frequency is shifting as you go along his head. So mapping across spatially, across the brain, there's a different frequency.
From a certain part of the brain is a different frequency?
Yeah, And then also there's some weird anti-symmetry. So one side is set up in one way and the other side is sort of the opposite of it. In other words, like one side of the head, the electrodes have a spectral peak at a certain frequency, and the other side, it's a deep dip. Like that frequency is like gone; it's missing. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's very preliminary.
Does this have to do with the dominance of the right or left hemisphere, or am I listening wrong? Am I hearing wrong? I'm not getting it.
At this point, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I don't know if it's showing dominance or not.
And then one other question about this, in a very broad sense, I know you're measuring, you know, everything to a very fine degree, but in a very broad sense, is the person this particular person in as an alpha state when they're moving things, or are they in a, you know, in a beta, or is there any like a broader place that you can say that generally it happens in alpha, for instance, or it happens in delta?
Oh, well, that was the odd thing about this particular person. It was extending along a range of frequencies that you couldn't even say that anymore. It was running from like theta all the way down through alpha.
Wow.
So you couldn't really say, oh, this person's in an alpha state. Well, you could say, well, part of their brain's in an alpha state, but this other part over here is in the peaking in the theta frequency.
Wow.
Did you use a control subject at the same time? Was there someone whose EEG you were measuring and finding sort of what I guess we would be referred to as normal EEG?
No, that's they do that. That's called a standard EEG or whatever, based on a person's age and sex and whatnot. There's kind of what you would expect to see in a standard EEG. And eventually we'll trundle that out and compare, but I can already say this person doesn't have a standard looking EEG.
Like you see, it sounds like nothing like it, actually.
No, I've never seen any. I've seen a fair amount of EEGs over the years, and I have not seen one that looked like that. But
so,
this is not to say that you have to have an EEG that looks like that in order to make PK happen. That's we don't know yet.
But if you had been in a lab doing EEGs, say for medical research or something, and you suddenly saw this one, you go, well, wait a minute. This does not look normal. Is that the case?
If I saw something that looked like that, yeah, I would be
interesting.
Checking out the equipment, right?
But this is just one subject, so ostensibly other subjects have provided other data.
And we're in the early stages of crunching that. So we're launched into the formal study now, in which we're only accepting what we would call PK experts into the study.
Cool.
So in order to get into the study, you've got to, pass a preliminary exam, we'll call it, a screening test. And we have one person that's done that so far.
Demonstrable PK, we will call it.
Yeah, he did it remotely. So we run remote experiments as well. That's one of our screening tools. We can get a person on Skype and let them run through the protocol, 48 trials, 48 seconds each, rest versus PK, and he got significant results. So he visited the lab. He's a healer. He does energy healing.
Oh, I think I might have an idea who that might be. I don't know. I guess we're not at liberty to say the person's name. I won't say.
Oh, no, I don't think he would mind. It's Edwards.
Ed Edwards, yes.
She
was just speaking with our mutual friend, Leslie, about Ed Edwards. And so, yeah. Well, just to set the record straight, I know Dr. Ross Dunseith as a person who is a fellow member of the professional division of the Monroe Institute.